First Timothy, and in chapter 4, and in verse 12. First Timothy 4, verse 12, it says, "Let no one look down on your youthfulness, but rather in speech, conduct, love, faith, and purity, show yourself an example of those who believe." Today I want to talk with you, as well as over the next few weeks, on preparing for priestly service. We see passages like 1 Peter chapter 2 and in verse 9, 1 Peter 2 and in verse 9, to where he says, "You're a chosen race, royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." And over the next 6 weeks, we're going to talk about six essentials that will shape your heart and mind. I think about things that have shaped our heart. Maybe you have certain scriptures that have shaped your heart. Maybe you've known certain Bible characters that you've read about that have shaped your heart. Maybe it's brethren, maybe it's family members before you that have helped to shape your heart. This morning, as I was pulling in, I don't know why, but I just was thinking about my grandparents. I guess because my grandfather's birthday was last Sunday. When they started this work in 1922, he was 22 years old. She was 17. You think about what you were doing. Think about what I was doing when we were 17 years old. I asked Kara this morning when we came in for worship, "How old are you, Kara?" She said, "I'm 17. Thinking about what those two, that little young couple, had to go through. Oh, they were made fun of terribly when they first started this work. They didn't have a building for the first 9 years. They finally bought a barber shop in 1931 for $300. He had to mortgage the house in order to pay for pews. Grandma, she wanted pews in that new building. They had never had pews before. Maybe that was a sign of legitimacy for their little church building to where they were going to worship God. I think about all the things that we do here, the Lord's Supper especially, about the fact that she prepared the Lord's Supper for 25 or 30 years straight. Now we have different people that come in, go to the back there, and put it together in just a matter of minutes. To where at 17, she was fixing that unleavened bread every week. And I think about us today with just the conveniences that we have about getting here and just come into a comfortable building and able to rather quickly get things going here. Or maybe think about when they finally came in this building for the first time. I think it was in maybe in August of 1965. But for a lot of people, they were just moving here. You know, they moved from Park Boulevard over here. But for that little couple, I would suppose it was vindication. That they had did things that were right. They had done things that were right for some 40 years in trying to get that work off the ground. And other works around town have benefited from this work, as we've talked about in our lesson this morning about other works. Other works have benefited from this work. When we think about things that shape our hearts, I know with some people, they think the Bible is just a religious relic. It is ancient literature. It's not really relevant for our society today, a lot of people feel, in 2018. Some think the Bible's ridiculous. A talking donkey? A woman that was turned into salt? A man that was swallowed by a great fish and lived in the great fish for 3 days and then lived because that fish vomited him up on the shore? Some aren't critical of the Bible, but they're critical of the way that we use the Bible. About the fact that we as a people many times are too rigid. We need to go with the flow now. This is 2018. There's a lot of things that are changing. And you with your congregation, you need to change as well. Some in services this morning brought their Bible. But maybe you're not very interested in the Bible. You're interested in the Savior. But really, you're not interested in the Scriptures. Let's not talk about the Scriptures. Let's just talk about Jesus. Let's just get our feelings out about Jesus. Let's not deal with the Scriptures. Well, this morning in the first lesson of this series, we'll talk about what Jesus had to say about the Scriptures. Six essentials that shape your heart. The first lesson, the Scriptures. How Jesus viewed the Scriptures. First of all, Jesus believed Scripture was important. When there was controversy, when Jesus was having to deal with various controversy, he would cite Scripture. In Matthew and in chapter 4. In Matthew chapter 4. He says in verse 4, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." In verse 7 he says, "It is written." On the other hand, it is written, "You shall not put the Lord your God to the test." Then down in verse 10, he says again, "Go, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only." In Matthew 19, in Matthew 19 and in verse 4. He again says, have you not read that he who made, or he who created them from the beginning, made them male and female? For this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let no man separate. Have you not read? Have you not read the scripture? Even concerning his own identity, scripture testifies of him from the very beginning. In Matthew and in chapter 1, Matthew chapter 1 and in verse 21 beginning, it says, she will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Now all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Behold, a virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. And scripture continued to testify of him. Jesus believed that scripture was inspired. Not just the ancient writings of his people, but the very words of God. And I don't see how we can't look at that with none other than awe when we see the very words of God and how it can change my life and how it can change your life. In Mark chapter 7 and in verse 10, Mark 7, verse 10, it says, for Moses said, honor your father and your mother, and he who speaks evil of father or mother is to be put to death. But Mark 7, verse 8 and 9 says, neglecting the commandment of God, you hold to the tradition of men. And he was saying to them, you are experts in setting aside the commandment of God in order to keep your tradition. Down to verse 13 again, he says, thus invalidating the word of God by your tradition, which is handed down, and you do many things such as that. And which one is it? In one verse, he says, Moses said. In another verse, or in three verses there, he talks about the commandment of God or the word of God. Which one is it? What Moses said or the commandment of God? Well, it's both. Because Moses wrote it. And God inspired what he wrote. In 2 Peter and in chapter 1, 2 Peter and in chapter 1, and in verse 20 and 21, says, but know this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever made by an act of human will, but men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. They Understand as well that Jesus believed Old Testament stories. Jesus believed Old Testament stories. Enlightened people many times do not believe these stories. Because of some presupposition that they have in their heart, they say there's no way in the world that there can be anything like miracles. But Jesus, in his teaching, cites story after story that the critics many times have so much trouble with. In Matthew chapter 24... Matthew 24. In verse 37 through 39, Matthew 24, verse 37 through 39, it says, "For the coming of the Son of Man will be just like in the days of Noah. For in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark." Now the critics say that's ridiculous. No such thing as a flood. Everybody in every culture of that period in time has some writing about a flood. And that just reinforces the fact of what Jesus says. Because every culture, whether it's the Japanese, whether it's the Chinese, whatever it is, they all talk about the fact that there was a flood. And Jesus talked about the fact there was a man named Noah, and there was a flood. He believed in the Old Testament story. In Luke and in chapter 17 and in verse 32, Luke 17 and in verse 32. Luke 17 and verse 32, a little verse here, one of the shortest in the Bible. He says, "Remember Lot's wife." Remember Lot's wife. A lot of people today say, "Well, that's ridiculous that some woman would turn into a pillar of salt." But Jesus reinforces this here in Scripture by talking about it. In Matthew and in chapter 12. In Matthew chapter 12 and in verse 39 and 40. As he deals with that of his own resurrection, he says in verse 39, "But he answered and said to them, 'An evil and adulterous generation craves for a sign, and yet no sign will be given to it but the sign of Jonah the prophet. But just as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the sea monster, the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth.'" Again, he talks about a Bible story. The people say, "Well, that's just ridiculous. Ridiculous that somebody would spend 3 days and three nights in a great fish." But it prepared. It was to prepare their hearts. It is to shape their hearts. It's to shape our hearts today as we talk about the importance of Scripture and how Jesus viewed Scripture. He viewed Scripture in humble, in strict obedience. He never cast any doubt on its authenticity. People today, they do that. Kyle, he had a whole series of lessons last year on this when we talked about how we got the Bible. I don't know how many times the law of Moses had been copied before it came to the time of Jesus. But Jesus, he took the scroll. He said, today these things are fulfilled. These things are fulfilled in your ears today. He wasn't saying, well, this isn't right. They've copied this down wrong. He trusted in that. He even went to other translations. Went to the Septuagint and wrote, in vain do they worship me, teaching his doctrine the commandments of men. That was quoted from the Septuagint, not from the Hebrew. So we see again that Jesus believed in strict obedience. Whether it's passages like Jason read this morning concerning about a burial, a baptism. People have said now for a number of years, hundreds of years, there are other ways for you to be baptized. They've changed the wording instead of baptizo to that of rantizo. To where it could just be a sprinkling or just pouring a little water on the head there. But it never was rantizo. Maybe modesty. Jesus believed in strict obedience to the Word of God. In Matthew and in chapter 7 and in verse 21. Matthew 7 verse 21. Matthew 7 verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father which is in heaven. As we read this morning in our Bible class, those that are fully obedient. And the last one here today, and the lesson's yours. And maybe this goes along with the fourth point. But Jesus reasoned from the details in the text. In Matthew and in chapter 22, Matthew chapter 22, and in verse 29 through 32, Matthew 22, verse 29 through 32, Jesus answered and said to them, you are mistaken, you are not understanding the scriptures nor the power of God. For in the resurrection they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but they're like angels in heaven. But regarding the resurrection of the dead, have you not read what was spoken to you by God? I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. He is not the God of the dead, but the God of the living. He reasoned from the text, the details in the text concerning the fact that there is a resurrection. Even though these three men had died hundreds of years before, still they're alive. Spiritually. Well, that's where we're going to be over the next few weeks, talking about this. Essentials that are going to shape your heart. And the importance, first of all, how Jesus viewed scriptures. A lot of people don't like to talk about scriptures anymore. They like to talk about their feelings, how they feel, how they think they feel. But Jesus saw the importance of using scripture. We'd encourage you that if you need to respond in any way, come right now while together we stand, we sing.